Lavas, and good afternoon. This is Kes Stutis Deividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and live streaming audio over the internet at ktym.com. That's ktym.com. Thanks again for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio here at KTYM this afternoon. We appreciate your listening. You know, before we go on to our regular programming, we want to offer our condolences to Vincas and George Bernota and Rachel and the family. They have lost their mother, Eugenia. She lived in Connecticut, and she made quite the name for herself. We'll tell you a little bit about her. Eugenia Genutė Petrauskas Bernota. She was 87 years old, and she was born back in August in 1926 in Kybartė, Lithuania, and she passed away in Waterbury, Connecticut, after a sudden illness on April 5th. She was the daughter of Kazimieras and Stanislava Saukas Petrauskas, the beloved wife of Peter J. Bernota of Waterbury and sister of Stanislava Stase Petrauskas Baranauskas. Eugenia lived under both German and Soviet occupations and was a war refugee first in Poland and then in the Scheinfeld camp near Regensburg, Germany. Eventually, she and her family moved to Frankfurt, where Eugenia studied at the Goethe Universität Frankfurt. Eugenia emigrated with her parents and sister to the U.S., like many others, in 1949, settling in Waterbury, Connecticut, where she found work in agriculture with Naugatuck Glass Company and with U.S. Time, now known as Timex. In Waterbury, she met and married Peter John Bernota, who was very active in sponsoring Lithuanian refugee families fleeing Soviet oppression. Mrs. Bernota painted. She was known for painting landscapes, flowers, and still lifes in both oil and acrylic. She studied under renowned portrait artist Marguerite Ryerson at the National Arts Club in New York City. Mrs. Bernota was the recipient of numerous awards at art shows and exhibitions throughout the northeastern United States. She leaves behind four sons, Peter J. Bernota of Washington, D.C., and his wife, Carolyn, Vincent Bernota of Santa Monica, California, George Bernota and his wife, Rachel, of Santa Monica, California, Thomas Bernota and his wife, Susan, of Arcata, California, and a daughter, Anne Bernota Pinette of Bath, Maine. She also had six grandchildren. Most of you know Vincent Bernota from the Lithuanian Golf Club here in Santa Monica, Los Angeles. So, again, we give our deepest sympathies to the Bernota family. In the meantime, on a happier note, we want to wish a happy birthday to Robert Novak. Robert Novak is one of our most loyal listeners. Hello, Robert. Labas. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. And happy birthday. He'll be celebrating his birthday on April 14th. And the Knights of Lithuania and Adele and Marita particularly wish you Ilgiausių metų, happy birthday, Ačiū. Once again, we want to remind you that this show is only possible by your generous donations, and we want to take this opportunity to thank Joanne Williams, a consistent supporter financially of Independent Lithuanian Radio. Joanne, thank you so much for your generous check, and we wish you the best. And the tape's on its way, by the way, in case you haven't got it yet. And we want to thank Irena Venskus, known as Jūrate Venskus, for her generous donation. I ran into Jūrate last week, and she's kind enough to support us here at Independent Lithuanian Radio. Now, at this point, I really want to get your attention because one of the most important events to happen at St. Casimir's Parish Hall is coming up Saturday, May 3rd, and that's the Baltic American Freedom League's annual awards banquet. You know, this goes on every year. This year, it's being held at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, not the Latvian Community Center, but at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. And again, that's Saturday, May 3rd, 2014. You know, the Baltic American Freedom League has done so much over the years to keep congressmen and senators and politicians aware of the Baltic cause. And even though Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia are independent, you can see what's happening around the Ukraine, and that Russia has become aggressive. The bear has awoken, and you know, thank goodness Lithuania and the other Baltic states belong to NATO now. But you know, the bottom line is the Baltic American Freedom League politically keeps Congress and the Senate aware of our situation. So they will be hosting the annual awards banquet at St. Casimir's Parish Hall Saturday, May 3rd. Saturday, May 3rd, the corner of St. George Street and Griffith Park Boulevard. So the reception is at 6:30, dinner is at 7:30. And they've managed to get keynote speaker Congressman Ed Royce. Congressman Ed Royce will be speaking. Now, Ed Royce is currently serving his 11th term in Congress, and he represents Southern California's 39th District, based in Orange, Los Angeles, and San Bernardino counties. He and his wife, Marie, are longtime residents of Fullerton. Now, Mr. Royce is also chairman of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs. This is a big deal. Congressman Ed Royce is chairman of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs. And he's being recognized for his long, effective, and unwavering support for the independence and security of the Baltic nations. So Congressman Ed Royce will be speaking, and he will be honored at the 2014 Baltic American Freedom League Awards Banquet Saturday, May 3rd, right at our very own St. Casimir's. Again, the reception is at 6:30, dinner is at 7:30, programs at 8:15, and entertainment will be provided, appropriately provided, by the Chervona Kalina Ukrainian Dance Ensemble. So the Ukrainians will be entertaining us at this wonderful and important event, and Congressman Ed Royce will be speaking. So, we need your RSVP. We need you to show up. This is important, and we want Congressman Ed Royce to see that the community cares about the work of the Baltic American Freedom League. You can call Marita at 818-321-1811 for reservations. Call Marita at 818-321-1811. I'm going to repeat that for the Baltic American Freedom League annual awards banquet Saturday, May 3rd. Okay, that's right around the corner coming up. Call Marita for reservations at 818-321-1811. And let's make keynote speaker Congressman Ed Royce feel welcome. Now, let me ask you a question. Does anybody know what drifting is as a sport? Drifting is a driving technique where the driver intentionally oversteers. causing loss of traction in the rear wheels or all tires while maintaining control from entry to exit of a corner. A car is drifting when the rear slip angle is greater than the front slip angle to such an extent that often the front wheels are pointing in the opposite direction of the turn. In other words, if the car is turning left, the wheels are pointing right, or vice versa. As a motorsport discipline, professional drifting competitions are held worldwide and are judged according to speed, angle, showmanship, and line taken through the corner or a set of corners. Now, I tell you this because the 11th season of Formula Drift opened at round one in the streets of Long Beach in Long Beach, California on April 4th and 5th. And that weekend marked the start of the fourth season of professional drifting for Audimus Odi Bakcis, driver of the Feel Suspension Nitto Tire Nissan 240SX. Bakcis qualified 14th on Friday in a field of over 50 drivers, and ultimately he finished 7th. He was ranked 7th following Formula Drift Round 1. So we have a young Lithuanian guy in the sport of drifting who is ranked 7th out of 50 drivers, which is quite an accomplishment. Audemy, if you're listening, or if anybody who knows you is listening, let him know that we congratulate him for his showmanship and for his aggressive driving in Formula Drift. And finally, before we take a little break and then come back with some news, we want to give you the weather in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. Tonight it's 39 degrees. Tomorrow it will be 57 degrees with scattered showers. And so it will go throughout the rest of the 10-day forecast with temperatures in the mid-50s, basically 54, 57, 59. And Sunday, April 20th, okay, will be up to 62 degrees in the capital of Lithuania, Vilnius. So look forward to a beautiful Easter Sunday. Now, before we took that little musical break, we were promoting the 2014 Baltic American Freedom League Annual Awards Banquet, which is Saturday, May 3rd. I remind you, Saturday, May 3rd, and the keynote speaker will be Congressman Ed Royce. I bring it up again because last year they honored Representative Adam Schiff, who's a Democrat representing the area around St. Casimir's Atwater district and the like. And anyway, last night, Representative Adam Schiff, who the Baltic American Freedom League honored, and he came and he spoke. He's a member of the Intelligence Committee and the State and Foreign Operation Appropriations Committee. He returned from a congressional delegation trip to Ukraine and Lithuania. During the trip, he assessed the situation on the ground in Ukraine, talked with government, military, and intelligence officials, attended a NATO conference in Lithuania, and discussed the concerns in the Baltic states with the situation in Ukraine and Crimea. Quote, in light of the brazen violation of international law and Ukraine's sovereignty in Crimea, the continued large presence of Russian troops on Ukraine's border and the threat to other nations in the region, the U.S. and international community must do more to respond, he said. Even in the absence of further Russian incursions into Ukraine, Russia's ongoing efforts to destabilize the country's eastern regions through political interference, clandestine activities, and massive propaganda campaigns compel us to strengthen the sanctions regime, provide greater intelligence support, and increase assistance to combat Russian propaganda. Stronger sanctions against Russia and more meaningful assistance to Ukraine is essential not only to reaffirm our support for state sovereignty, territorial integrity, and the rule of law, but to honor our commitments under the Budapest Memorandum. If the assurances of that agreement are to have any substance, they must mean more than the actions the international community has thus far undertaken. Otherwise, some nations might choose nuclear proliferation as a better guarantor of their territorial integrity than the force of international agreement and support. Russia must be made to feel a real economic cost to its belligerence, and we encourage further reckless adventurism. The U.S. and its partners should also amp up NATO support in the region to reassure our allies in the Baltics that we stand firmly behind Article 5's guarantee of collective security that is the linchpin of NATO's existence. So said Representative Adam Schiff, who was honored by the Baltic American Freedom League last year. That's why it's so important that we support the Baltic American Freedom League by attending the dinner and banquet on May 3rd at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. Garth, here's what's going on. Lithuania is now responding to Russia's military ship's interference in its economic zone. A Lithuanian military ship responded Thursday morning to the interference of a Russian military ship in the economic zone, said the defense ministry. The ministry's public relations department told Baltic News Services that the Lithuanian Navy received radio information Thursday morning that a Russian military ship in Lithuania's economic zone in the Baltic Sea was ordering civilian ships in the area to change their courses due to a shooting training event held by Russia. So Russia's doing these maneuvers right there in Lithuanian waters. A Lithuanian military ship, Suduvis, was sent to the economic zone, identified the Russian military corvette as well as another Russian ship, a destroyer, and came into radio contact with the latter. Sergeant Audrius Vitkauskas of the Lithuanian Navy told news services that after the Suduvis arrived, the Russian ship stopped redirecting other ships. The incident was reported at around 9 a.m. Our ship Suduvis was at the scene before 11 a.m. The Suduvis was also warned that it is in a dangerous area as missile shootings are taking place, but was not directed out of the area, and there was no information that other ships were redirected as well, said Vitkauskas. In his words, the Russian ship entered around 1.5 nautical miles into the Lithuanian Special Economic Zone. The incident took place in the western part of Lithuania's special economic zone. It is Lithuania's special economic zone, and usually foreign military ships cannot freely regulate the movement of other ships in another country's economic zone, Vitkauskas told news services, adding that this was not the first incident of its kind, but that the incidents are rare. Representatives of the Lithuanian Ministry of Defense also told news services that in addition, an M18 helicopter of the Lithuanian Air Force was sent to Lithuania's Special Economic Zone for inspection and data collection. Foreign ships, including military ships, are allowed to cross the zone, but they must properly take into account the rights and duties of the coastal state and not restrict the rights of the coastal state in the zone. So, you know, that's the problem. The Russians just do what they want and are flexing their muscles. Now, in the meantime, Russia, according to Butkevičius, the Lithuanian prime minister, Russia failed to show goodwill in informing about its sea exercises. Russia demonstrated a lack of goodwill when it failed to exchange information about military exercises in the Kaliningrad area, said Lithuanian Prime Minister Algirdas Butkevičius on Friday. His comments came in response to the incident on Thursday when Russian military ships were redirecting other ships in Lithuania's special economic zone amid an ongoing training event in Kaliningrad. The Lithuanian Prime Minister said it was not exceptional, but again, that these situations were rare. So, you know, bottom line is, you know, the Russians come into Lithuanian waters and tell everybody else, get out of the way, we're busy, we're doing a training exercise. So, remember that in Belarus, there's also training exercises going on, okay? Now, Belarus is on one side of Lithuania, Kaliningrad is on the other, okay? So, all of a sudden, there's all this military activity on the on the part of the Russians on both sides of Lithuania. Isn't that incredible? Remember, I keep telling everybody that Lithuanian independence is the exception, not the rule. And Russia seems to be on a flex its muscle streak, to say the least. Now, there's another story that says Europe needs an anti-missile defense system in the wake of Russia's actions in Ukraine, and being aware of the scope of Russia's military modernization, says Artūras Paulauskas, who's chairman of the Lithuanian Parliamentary Committee on National Security and Defense. We say that we need to get back to the deployment of an anti-missile defense system. We need to take care of anti-missile defense, he said, after a meeting of members of the defense committees of the Nordic, Baltic, and Polish parliaments in Vilnius on Friday. Paulauskas believes the frozen U.S. project should be implemented as the locations were already designated for it and the public were ready. Remember, Obama, President Obama, canceled the missile defense program that was set to be put in place in Poland. He continues to say, moreover, if Iskander missiles are deployed in the Russian region of Kaliningrad, we will have to seriously think about how to defend our space, Paulauskas continued. Members of the defense committees of the Nordic, Baltic, and Polish parliaments were on Friday introduced to Russia's military reform, and Paulauskas claimed it poses serious threats to security in the region. Russia's military reform is demonstrating bad tendencies, he said. First of all, the missiles that are deployed here, their range is 400 kilometers. They can reach any target in all of Lithuania, most of Poland, and part of Latvia. If Iskander missiles are deployed, these are combat-type missiles, and they will reach targets across the whole territory of Poland. We are very much concerned about what is deployed today and attempts to deploy more there. We see that the majority of that weaponry is directed towards the West. He added that this so-called Russian military reform includes the plans to spend over €600 billion euros on army modernization over the next 6 years. This article goes on, ladies and gentlemen, but here's the point, okay? The Russians are expanding. They're flexing their muscles. They're going to spend 600 billion euros on modernization of their army, while meanwhile, we here in the United States, this administration, is cutting the defense budget, okay? It's cutting the defense budget. Just last week, we announced that we are cutting Air Force bombers also. So, you know, while the United States demilitarizes, in effect, Russia is remilitarizing, and it's flexing its muscles not only in Ukraine, but around Lithuania. Now, just a few minutes ago, I read you Representative Adam Schiff's comments, official comments, which are on his website, about his visit to Ukraine and Lithuania. He just got back a couple of nights ago. I also heard an interview with him where he said that satellite images just taken last week show something like 40,000 Russian troops on Ukraine's eastern border. Okay? While Putin brazenly said that those satellite images were from 3 or 4 months ago, okay, from basically from February, I should say more like 2-3 months ago. He said those are images from February and that most of those troops have been recalled, where in effect, where truly these images were just taken last week. Now, we don't have a lot of time left, but there's this great opinion piece by an academic, Vladimir Sokar. He writes that Russia's seizure of Crimea from Ukraine and Western hand-wringing in response demonstrate the depth of the security vacuum in Europe's east. This area is comprised of Ukraine, Belarus, Moldova, Georgia, Azerbaijan, and Armenia. And this area forms the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO's, and the European Union's direct eastern neighborhood. Yet NATO has condemned itself to failure in terms of securing this neighborhood, while the EU and its eastern partnership has neither the instruments nor the internal political consensus to become a security actor in Europe's east, writes Vladimir Sokar of the Jamestown Foundation. The Western default position and local state weakness over the last 22 years has allowed the security vacuum to develop and Russia to re-expand step by step into its former Soviet domain. The Crimea case represents an escalation of this process on at least three counts. First, Russia has now officially annexed the occupied territory. Second, Moscow explicitly reserves the right to attack mainland Ukraine. The Parliament of Russia has given Vladimir Putin unlimited authority to use military force against Ukraine. And third, while seizing Crimea, the Kremlin has proclaimed a new doctrine of irredentism and intervention in former Soviet-ruled territories. Remember that this happened in Georgia just a couple of years ago. There were maneuvers in the Caucasus, troops gathered, and Georgia was invaded. Now, the Crimea has been taken by Russia, and Russia is playing all sorts of war games on the borders of the Baltic states. This is serious stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Pay attention to the news, please, and continue to listen to us every week at noon here at Independent Lithuanian Radio. We've run out of time. This is Kęstutis Reividas at KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye. Iki pasimatymo.
Ir būlim be chalato 10 000